turned around the other way, are you denying that waterboarding was in part among the tactics used to extract the intelligence that led to this successful mission?
No, I think some of the detainees clearly used these enhanced interrogation techniques against some of these detainees.
Welcome back, everybody. Welcome back. I'm ever yours, Alan Nathan, the militant moderate. Once again, this is the Oasis for those who have an aversion to the left-right, black-white, two-dimensional approach. You were listening to the musings of CIA Director Leon Panetta. He's talking with NBC's Brian Williams. And Brian Williams heard, as you've just listened, very straightforwardly ask Leon Panetta, hey, did these folks who were subjected to enhanced interrogation, were they the ones who provided information? And in part, Leon Panetta confirmed that that was very much the case. We have assisted me in the Opani Department, old friend of the show, Mark Levine, a former congressional attorney and Washington, D.C. radio talk host on Pacifica Radio's WPFW. By the way, you can learn more about Mark by going to www.marklevineradio.com. Good to have you back, buddy.
Thanks, Alan.
This is still part of the continuing debate surrounding the linking of Bush-era enhanced interrogation techniques to the Osama's delightful demise. What's your sense of all this?
My sense is that it's fascinating how really this discussion evolves, because here's a case where, of course, if Bush had been able to torture the people and to find Osama bin Laden's whereabouts, that would have happened years ago under Bush. What we do know is that the people who were tortured lied, which is generally what happens when you torture people, they lie. And it's true that the fact that they lied was used by some people to suggest that because they lied about it, they must have cared enough about it to protect this guy. But, you know, people lie in ordinary interrogation techniques as well. And what's fascinating is the guy that actually fingered the courier, gave the description, did so in an ordinary interrogation method, not due to waterboarding.
Yeah, but for those two lying simultaneously in the same fashion, they never would have had that as a frame of reference or a template upon which to attach the subsequent reference in order for it to have a more full-bodied, helpful end result. Bottom line is, information extracted through enhanced interrogation techniques contributed to the killing of Osama bin Laden. I mean, even the Washington Post, I'm looking
here.
Let me share this with a few of the folks. This is written by Scott Wilson. Scott Wilson writes, quote, "The operation also revived the politically charged subject of harsh interrogation techniques practiced by the George W. Bush administration. Critical information used in the raid came from detainees subjected to what Bush administrations called enhanced interrogation measures, which Obama prohibited soon after taking office." Wilson added that these measures, quote, "helped lead Obama officials to the courier who connected bin Laden to the outside world," unquote. So here's my question.
The argument against...
What's that?
He's incorrect, because even though Khalid Sheikh Mohammed was waterboarded 183 times, he did not even come up with this lie during the waterboarding. He came up with the lie in a subsequent interrogation. So there's no evidence that the waterboarding did anything except that they both affected the same person.
No, actually, you're wrong, because what the waterboarding does is put people in the cooperation mode. They often are asking questions for which they already have the answer. They're not asking pivotal questions while they're subjecting them to waterboarding. What they do is they want to put them in the mode of cooperation. And they ask questions that they already have the answers to. And once they see that there's something in sync going on and then they start cooperating, well, that allows for the groundwork that subsequently follows. And that was part and parcel of KSM's modus operandi. He had already been subjected to waterboarding,
and
he didn't want it again.
He refused to cooperate and told them an untruth.
Untruth that was conveyed in the exact same fashion as it was with Al-Libi, who was subsequently subjected to the same questioning. And the fact that they both lied in the same fashion is what eventually led them to the person who led them to the person who led them to Osama bin Laden. There's no arguing this.
But it's an extreme leap of faith to say that because torture induces people to lie, and because these two gentlemen lied in the midst of all this other information, that this other guy who told the truth, Mr. Gould, G-H-U-L, the guy that actually gave us the information and did so, and he was not waterboarded, that there's some connection here. I mean, maybe they would have given us these lies without it. In fact, some of the greatest interrogation techniques we've discovered is through deception.
Yeah, but they're not mutually exclusive.
Evidence that waterboarding led to any of this information.
You're wrong. You just heard it from CIA Director Panetta. Leon Panetta made it abundantly clear. I mean, I'll replay it if you want, but that's empirically verifiable.
What Leon Panetta said was that the detainees that had been waterboarded did provide information through these lies that helped corroborate the guy that told the truth. That's what he said. And I don't
And they were the
that.
Beginning point. This all started in 2002. Look, you can't have... These are disconnected measures you're applying. When you do that, it's unfortunate because that allows you to take any argument, expand it into a multitude of other arguments, allowing you to escape from your half of the original rub just because you couldn't defend it. I'm saying we heard what we just heard. Matter of fact, Zach, would you please replay that clip with Brian Williams?
Around the other way, are you denying that waterboarding was in part among the tactics used to extract the intelligence that led to this successful mission?
No, I think some of the detainees they use these enhanced interrogation techniques against some of these detainees.
And collaborating
they
that
did.
Was a reporter by the name of Mary Beth Sheridan. She spoke with former members of the Bush administration as well as Obama officials, and this is what she writes in the Washington Post. Again, this is the reported side, not the op-ed side. Quote, yet members of the Bush administration as well as Obama officials said the prior administration deserved credit too. Without information from detainees at the Guantanamo Bay prison and elsewhere, U.S. officials would never have tracked the courier who led them to bin Laden's compound, they said. Much of the intelligence and logistical groundwork was also laid during the Bush era, unquote. So my question to you is this. Will Americans
yeah.
come to see it, as do the officials from both the Obama and Bush administration?
Well, I would say that nothing I've said disputes what you just read. What that official said, and there's no doubt about it, was that normal interrogation techniques that occurred at Guantanamo Bay. By the way, nobody was waterboarded at Guantanamo Bay.
No,
so
you're right
about
that.
Don't get confused about the two things. If you got information at Guantanamo Bay, it could not have been.
No. They didn't get it from Guantanamo Bay. They got it from people who were later housed at Guantanamo Bay, but had earlier been interrogated elsewhere at these black sites. You know what I mean?
But that's not what the quote said. The quote said, because of the interrogations that occurred at Guantanamo Bay. Remember, the
no, it didn't say that. I'll replay it. He did not say that. Zach,
waterboarding.
Zach, replay it so we can all have an understanding.
Not the quote. I'm talking about what you
Brown
just said.
The other way, are you denying that waterboarding was in part among the tactics used to extract the intelligence that led to this successful mission?
No, I think some of the detainees they used these enhanced interrogation techniques against some of these detainees.
Now you have it.
Right.
Now, they used them. They didn't
that.
Use them at Guantanamo Bay, but they did use them. And later on, they were brought to Guantanamo Bay. Bottom line is, we got information for people who were subjected to enhanced interrogation techniques, information that was useful, directly useful and relevant to the killing of Osama bin Laden.
You know, it's interesting. Secretary Don Rumsfeld profoundly disagrees with you. I'd like you to play my clip, if you would, where Don Rumsfeld makes it clear that it was normal interrogation techniques, not the waterboarding, that gave us this information.
All right. Well, unfortunately, I don't know. I don't know whether to be cruel or to be kind here, because, you see, I have you. I don't know whether to savor it or be compassionate.
No, you don't have me, because Don Rumsfeld profoundly disagrees with
me. I know. What you're failing to realize is that subsequent to the clip that you gave us to play proving your point, we have another one that followed that, which went in the other direction. We're going to play them both. Oh, I tried to spare him, but he would not allow. You know what, my friend? You must help me help you. Help me help you. Stick with us. Got more with Mark Levine. You are with Battleline, Main Street Radio Network. I'm Alan Nathan.
Turned around the other way, are you denying that waterboarding was in part among the tactics used to extract the intelligence that led to this successful mission?
No, I think some of the detainees they used these enhanced interrogation techniques against some of these detainees.
Have it, the director of the CIA, Central Intelligence Agency, Leon Panetta, making it abundantly clear to NBC's Brian Williams that, in fact, we had terror suspects who were subjected to enhanced interrogation techniques, and we were able to derive information from that. It's as straightforward and as empirically verifiable as you just heard. But you got a lot of folks who are still upset. Matter of fact, we have guests with us right now, old friend of the show, none other than Mark Levine, former congressional attorney and Washington, D.C. radio host on Pacifica Radio's WPFW. You can also learn more about him from marklevineradio.com. Mark, welcome back.
Thanks, Alan.
And well, I want to go to our dueling clips here in just a bit, but I'd like to share something because we're going to be playing two clips. I want to set this up for everybody. We're going to be playing two clips of Donald Rumsfeld. Rumsfeld's first reacting in a fashion that gave the impression that what I just described did not happen. And then a subsequent interview in which apparently he went into another direction. But I want to read to you some words from a man who worked for not only George W. Bush, but also Don Rumsfeld himself. And he is none other and I think you've heard of him, Mark Thiessen. He's somebody who was a speechwriter for both President Bush during 2004 to 2009, as well as Secretary of Defense Don Rumsfeld, but he was with him from 2001 to 2004. So the latter was a precursor to the former. But this is what he wrote recently in one of his columns. Already, critics are desperately trying to play down the CIA interrogation program's role in the bin Laden operation. Many are pointing to an Associated Press report that Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, he refers to him as KSM, quote, did not discuss al-Kuwaiti while being subjected to the simulated drowning technique known as waterboarding, a former official said. He acknowledged knowing him many months later under standard interrogation, they said, leaving it once again up for debate as to whether the harsh technique was a valuable tool or an unnecessary violent tactic, unquote. He goes on to say, this statement demonstrates ignorance of how CIA interrogations worked. Interrogators would never have asked about the names of couriers during waterboarding. As I explain in my book, Courting Disaster, enhanced techniques were not used to gain intelligence. They were used to elicit cooperation. According to former CIA Director Mike Hayden, and I've heard him say this as well, as enhanced techniques were applied, CIA interrogators would ask detainees questions to which the interrogators already know the answer, allowing them to judge whether the detainees had reached a level of compliance. Quote, they are designed to create a state of cooperation, not to get specific truthful answers to a specific question, unquote, Hayden said. Here we go. Once interrogators determined a terrorist had become cooperative, the technique stopped and traditional non-coercive methods of questioning were used. Moreover, the use of enhanced techniques wasn't needed for two-thirds of the detainees in CIA custody. Just the experience of being brought into CIA custody, the capture shock, arrival at a sterile location, the isolation, the fact that they did not know where they were and that no one else knew they were there, was enough to persuade most of them to cooperate, unquote. So that's where we find ourselves now, Mark. Here you have a man who explained it one way, but we're going to go ahead and play our two dueling clips. Is that okay?
Well, can I respond real quick to what you said
first?
You
sure may. Go right ahead. I know it was a bit there.
Real quick. No, because it's important to note that that's not what happened to KSM. I mean, he was waterboarded in 03 and 04. As you know, waterboarding is illegal. It's illegal on the United States Constitution. It's illegal on the Geneva Conventions. The United States Supreme Court expressly prohibited it. And from 2007 on, the CIA was not allowed to continue it, and the military had KSM, and that's apparently when this information came out. So I just want to be clear about the narrative here. But
there's
go ahead.
Nothing in the Constitution that says we can't waterboard people.
Says you can't. Cruel and unusual punishment is prohibited under the Eighth Amendment.
Cruel and unusual punishment. Yeah. No. Yeah. Right.
I think it's
excessive
cruel
bail
and unusual
shall not be required, nor excessive fines imposed, nor cruel and unusual punishments inflicted. You're talking about a part of the Bill of Rights for you and I, because we belong to the club. When it comes to people like KSM and terrorists, it does not apply.
What about the treaty we signed, the Geneva Convention? Does that not apply?
To powers that are signatories of it. You know, we talk about Article 3. No, we're talking about common. We are, but they are not. And until they, quote unquote, adopt and apply the provisions thereof, meaning the very things to which we're a signatory of,
so
they're not entitled to it.
Civilians, then, under your argument, if their country hasn't approved the convention.
I'm saying that the point that you used as grounds upon which to predicate your assertion is not valid in this instance.
The Supreme Court agreed with me and declared this illegal. My point is, if you're going to do something that's so illegal and so atrocious, it's going to cause all the world to hate us, you better be damn sure it works. Because we tortured a lot of innocent people, too, and that looks really bad. And at the end of the day, what's fascinating,
what are you calling torture?
So
you're referring to you're referring to waterboarding as torture. And I say denotatively or connotatively, that's just not making sense. Are you a vet by any chance? I am.
I am
was
not.
In the Navy, okay? You were a vet?
No.
Oh, okay. Well, I am. I was in the Navy, and I served from 77 to 81, 4 years active, 2 years reserve. While I was in, I was with a fighter squadron, and a lot of the pilots had to go through Sears School, and essentially they were subjected to waterboarding. Now, if it was truly torture, we would not be conditioning our own officers to be trained out that. Now, it was pretty effective. They were essentially
trying to prove.
As you
know, it's more than waterboarding. It's slapping people in stress positions. You know that a guy in training almost died until he called the safe word. Let's play the dueling clips, though, before our time runs out.
All right, let's go ahead and have Zach, go ahead and play Mark's first.
Bush administration widely criticized for waterboarding and other aggressive interrogation techniques. Do you think now that it's all said and done, harsh interview techniques at Gitmo actually helped find bin Laden and contributed to his killing?
Well, first of all, no one was waterboarded at Guantanamo Bay. That's a myth that's been perpetrated around the country by critics. The United States Department of Defense did not do waterboarding for interrogation purposes to anyone. And it is true, as I understand it, that some information that came from normal interrogation approaches in Guantanamo did lead to information that was beneficial in this instance. But it was not harsh treatments, and it was not waterboarding, as you've suggested.
I guess.
Okay, now what I want to do is play the next clip from Don Rumsfeld. Have a listen.
I think it certainly is a reasonable idea. Is it correct that CIA Director Panetta indicated that one of the individuals who provided important information had in fact been waterboarded? Is that correct?
Yes.
Well, that's my understanding. And I think that anyone who suggests that the enhanced techniques, let's be blunt, waterboarding, did not produce an enormous amount of valuable intelligence just isn't facing the truth. The facts are, General Mike Hayden came in. He had no connection with waterboarding anybody. He looked at all the evidence and concluded that a major fraction of the intelligence in our country on Al-Qaeda came from individuals, only three people who were waterboarded.
So there you have it. I don't know that he's even contradicting.
Right. He's not saying there's any direct link between getting bin Laden and waterboarding. What he's saying is that waterboarding produced valuable intelligence. That's what Don Rumsfeld said. But the heart of the matter is that we waterboarded this guy. Years later, he lied. And somehow that's been used to justify this method, which is clearly illegal. I find that troubling at a time when, frankly, we should all be celebrating the great victory over Osama bin Laden.
I'm saying the moral argument can still exist, and it's a valid one. If somebody wants to put forward that we shouldn't do it no matter what, fine, that's a moral argument. What I'm saying is that the additional argument we've always heard, i.e., oh, it's also, by the way, not effective, should now be thrown in the trash bin of history because it's been proven to be completely false. There
because
is
a guy lied after waterboarding years later? That doesn't make any sense. I mean, people lie in normal interrogation techniques. They lie after waterboarding. How did the waterboarding change Khalid Sheikh Mohammed's lie? I don't understand that.
Because he was lying in a fashion that was mirrored by Al-Libi. And that's
would he
what
not have lied
away.
If he had not been
but
waterboarded?
But again, you're forgetting what I had explaining to you. The waterboarding itself is for the purpose of bringing about cooperation. Once that's secure, and they only ask questions for which they have the answers anyway. And when they
right,
saw the two go out of their
lied.
Way and lie in the similar fashion, that similar lie is what helped prove that they were on the right track. And guess what? It worked.
I want to understand your argument. Your argument is if Khalid Sheikh Mohammed had not been waterboarded, if he'd been only subject to normal interrogation, he would not have lied in the same manner as he did in the normal interrogation that occurred after he'd been waterboarding. That's your argument upon which you base this entire premise that waterboarding got Osama bin Laden. Am I correct here?
No. What I'm saying is that we got early information as early as 2002 about the existence of this courier. We didn't have it nailed down to 2 or 3 years later, but our initial indicator was definitely extracted through the elevated and enhanced interrogation systems that many people don't like.
Because we got two denials, two lies, one from Khalid Sheikh Mohammed and 1 year later from Al-Libi, and then a couple years later, this guy who didn't lie.
But for the information that we extracted in 2002, we would have never had a reason to ask the questions that we asked. Therein lies the empirically verifiable, tangible link that has been established. And not only that, again, I got to remind you, as far as Leon Panetta is concerned, we definitely got information through elevated and enhanced interrogation standards.
It had no connection.
That connected us to it. He said it on Brian Williams. I played it 3-4 times. I don't know. Maybe I'm addressing, maybe you're having a Helen Keller moment. I don't know. But that's what we heard. Folks, stick with us. We got Talk Radio News Service with a news wrap-up right around the corner. You are with Battleline. I do want to point out one other thing, though. I had on a little bit earlier Mark Levine, liberal, and I love having him on. He's one of my regulars, especially on Thursday. We like to have him, usually in the second hour. But he brought up the fact that, oh, don't forget the Supreme Court outruled or overruled the use of any more enhanced interrogation. He said it was, they said it's against the Geneva Convention, and I pointed out to him that the court erred in that case because the Geneva Convention actually says the opposite of what the court ruled. And, of course, we just didn't have time to go into it, but I didn't want to leave my audience dangling. So let me explain what I mean, because these are facts with which you should be familiar before hearing folks speak as if they're addressing you from Mount High anytime they refer to the Geneva Convention or the Supreme Court. It turns out that the court ruled, I think in 06, in Hamden v. Rumsfeld, that terrorist prisoners are entitled to the protections of the Geneva Conventions, Common Article 3. Now, I have always pointed out that this seems nonsensical, since that treaty's Article 2 definitively opposes the court's finding. Here's a direct quotation from the Geneva Conventions, Common Article 2. Although one of the powers in conflict may not be a party to the present convention, the powers who are parties thereto shall remain bound by it in their mutual relations. Okay, that makes sense. They shall furthermore be bound by the convention in relation to the said power, in this case Al-Qaeda or any offending power, quote, if the latter accepts and applies the provisions thereof, unquote. If the latter accepts and applies the provisions thereof. Geneva Conventions, Article 2, Clause 3, written August 12, 1949. And here's my thing. The latter power, quote-unquote, in this case, the terrorist community, has never accepted and applied the provisions thereof, and accordingly does not meet the contingency that would otherwise bind us. So my question for the Supreme Court, my question to the learned justices has always been this. How the hell can the very law that debunks your ruling be the grounds that support it? Huh? It can't be. It's counterintuitive. So what you have before you, in black letter proof, is that the Supreme Court screwed up in its interpretation of the Geneva Convention. And all you need to understand that is just even a passing familiarity with the Queen's English. Anyway, we have Assistant Me in the opining and reporting. Ellen Ratner, Washington Bureau Chief for the Talk Radio News Service. Ellen, welcome back, and what's going on?
Well, Alan, I would love for you to argue with my brother on that, who is the world expert on the Geneva Convention, because he has a very different view than you do.
He can have all the views he wants, but the language is the language.
He also wrote the textbook on how to sue governments for torture, so I think he'll probably get you beat on that.
Well, then his argument isn't with me. It's with the Geneva Conventions. He doesn't have to convince me. He's got to somehow move letters
No.
On
I think
paper.
He's got it figured out. But we'll argue this another day, and I can't really argue it. But he can.
Okay.